Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The path of the righteous man is beset on all sides by the iniquities of the selfish and the tyranny of evil men. Blessed is he who, in the name of charity and goodwill, shepherds the weak through the valley of darkness. For he is truly his brother's keeper and finder of lost children. And I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger those who attempt to poison and destroy my brothers. And you will know my name is the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon thee. Ladies and gentlemen, the Church of Laszlo has begun.
Yo!
Yo!
What's going on?
Nothing. How are you?
I'm great.
Good. Glad to hear it.
No problems.
What's going on in life?
Well, I got some water damage in my laundry room, but you know.
Oh, I saw the picture.
Yeah, it doesn't look great, but.
It's always something.
Always something, man.
It's always something. Well, and you know, depending on your personality type and your means, sometimes it's a lot of things because, you know,
right.
you don't take care of that first thing. I'll get to that later. Yeah. The next thing you know, every day I wake up and I have to like just live in my house. I can't avoid the things, the reminders in my house of things that I need to do. And then when I go out back with the dogs, it's like this tree is going to fall down.
Right, yeah.
I've been saying I'm going to get the rest of this. It's just
always I had a leak in my shower forever, and you know I've always been like, oh, I'll fix it. I've even tried to fix it myself a couple times. And
yeah.
I'd work for like a day and then start leaking again. So I went down to the laundry room today to grab a sweatshirt because I didn't have one.
Yeah.
I looked up and I was like, oh, no. And I went and touched it. I'm like, oh, no, that drywall's wet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it sagging at all?
Not sagging yet.
Because that's when you really, I mean, my mom had water damage within the last like few months. And when I went over there and looked at it, I was like, oh, no. You know the sag. Where
right,
it's
yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's holding that water in for the time being, and you just think, just move. I don't know
yeah.
what else to tell you. I mean, get out of here. Because I would think of all the things, I mean, obviously fire the worst. But then water damage is the one you probably fear the most. When you
right.
start seeing water showing up places, and especially when you see it in the ceiling, coming from above.
The only thing that made me feel a little bit better is that it was in the laundry room.
Right, that's
not
a good
in
thing.
Like the living room. Because I was like, if that's in the living room.
Sure. Or if it had shorted something out
right,
or whatever. It didn't do that. For all you know, it could have been doing this for a while.
I did call our buddy Mike.
Yeah.
Who owns the real estate
company.
He knows what to do. Yeah. And so I sent it to him, like, I'm so screwed. And he was like, slow down. You're not Tom Hanks in the money pit. Here's a guy's number.
Okay, good.
Call him. It's an easy fix. It's really common.
Oh, that's
he's
very
like,
relieving.
It looks a lot worse than it is.
Yeah,
it's
it looks
jarring.
Horrible.
Right, yeah.
It looks horrible.
So I was like, okay, I trust you. So he gave me, and then he did give me a number to a guy, and I sent it to our guy, Kenny,
mm-hmm.
and I sent it to this other guy trying to see, because Kenny was like, I can get out there in the weekend.
Yeah.
I was thinking, well, maybe this guy could get out there sooner. Not that I don't love Kenny, but right?
Yeah, sure. Whatever works.
I don't want I don't want the tub to fall through.
Right. How bad is it? How
right.
long has it been like this? Because
right.
I'm guessing you don't go in that area and stare at the corner very often of the
nope.
ceiling. So yeah, you got to do what you got to do. It's business.
And the other guy just, I said, you know, hey, my buddy Mike sent me your number, said you might be able to fix this. And I was really happy with his response because it just said, yes, sir, easy fix.
Oh, good. So you got the double reassurance.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Easy fix.
That's the other thing, though, about home ownership is it's the things that look terrible. Mm-hmm. Like, that looks like that's the worst. There's water coming from the ceiling, and both of the experts are like, oh, no problem. Easy fix. But then you're like, hey, I got this tree stump that needs to go. And they're like, whoa.
$72,000.
How much money you got?
Right.
You know, I only see you got two cars there. I don't know. Right. I don't know. We'd have to take both of them plus.
Do we know anybody who cuts down trees? Did you find some? I think I have a dead tree in my front yard. It won't fall on anything, but it feels like I should get it cut down. I don't know.
I did find a guy. Well, so I shouldn't say I found someone on Instagram.
Can I cut it down myself with a chainsaw?
It depends on how big it is.
Just cut it down, see where it falls. I don't know how that works, but
I think you like cut it at an angle.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I could figure this out. I'm sure there's a YouTube video, but it just depends on how big the tree is. Like, is it a really big tree?
I mean, it's pretty tall.
I mean, like, the tree in my yard is, you know, like, the circumference is bigger than my car, probably. You know what I mean?
It's a huge birch tree. It's taller than it is wide.
Okay. Well, then you might be able to do it. They make those long saw thing, so you saw the branches off from the ground first.
Oh, boy, that sounds like a lot of work.
I mean, you could just cut the whole thing down at once. But no, I did find a guy. I'd have to go through my own messages.
Swatchington on Twitch. Twitch.tv/Church of Laszlo. My husband is an arborist.
And that
I don't need him
kills,
to fix the tree.
He kills the tree.
I just need him to cut down the tree.
An arborist, right, helps the trees.
Or can he?
He does both.
Make sure it's okay.
I guess maybe he cures them. Maybe he relocates them. You know what? This probably does make sense. He probably does it all. So as long as he cuts the trees down, send him our way. Because I did find a guy, but he had to drive from Platte City. And when he came out to my place, at least he was like, oh, too close to the power lines. I was like,
No, mine's in the front yard. Shouldn't be close to anything unless somebody's car's parked underneath it.
Yeah.
And it doesn't look like it's going to fall down.
Right. No, then I wouldn't.
But I don't see it growing leaves.
I don't know why you're worried about it.
Yeah, I'm worried about it because my mother said something when she was here.
Of course.
She's like, that tree's dead.
Yeah, who cares?
And it might have been dead for 10 years. I just hadn't noticed.
Yeah. I know my tree's been dead since I moved in because I asked when I bought the house, our friend Mike. I said, hey, will you tell them that part of the deal is they got to take that tree out? And he's like, okay. And then he came back. He's like, they said they'll just knock, you know, a little bit of money off. You can take the tree out. There's a reason I asked them to do it, because I'm never going to do it. So, of course, it sat there for 15 years, and now it is going to fall over, and it's a massive liability. It's going to take the neighborhood's power out, at least the entire city block.
Well, that makes me feel a little bit better.
Yeah. I mean, and then when I had guys come out, they literally said, like, that's too close to the power lines. And the power company's like, we don't do that. We only do it if it's, actually over the lines. I'm like, but it's too close to the lines. So you just do this thing where you're like, well, I guess I'll give up. Maybe I'll just give up. Maybe I'll just sell the place. That's always if you own a home, you think, well, maybe I'll just sell it. Maybe I'll just sell it. AC's out. I got damage in the ceiling. I need those gutters to be redone. How old is my roof? I got to get this tree down. You know what? Just forget it. Maybe I'll just sell the place. Because I've needed concrete since I've lived there. Yeah. No one will pour me a walkway. I'll just sell it. But then you start reading about
rentals. People across the street from me, and I really like these people. Like, really like them. But I have some neighbors that I really like, some that, I don't like so much.
Like everyone.
The people across the street from me, I like them quite a bit. Just really seem like nice people. Their kids are cool, right?
Yeah.
They just put a new driveway in.
Yeah.
With a walkway,
I got the driveway.
And I just thought to myself, and there's so many other things I would spend my money on. Now, it looks great, and I know they did it, and good for them, and mine needs it.
Yeah.
But as I look at my house, I'm like, there are so many things that I would pay for before a new driveway.
It depends on how bad it is. You knew what mine looked like. I basically didn't have a driveway anymore when I bought my house, so I had to do it. Luckily, I found that guy who did an awesome job, and he did it really cheap. He was a listener, I think,
because
he reached out, and he was supposed to come back. He was like, yeah, I'll come back and do the walkway in a couple days. He ghosted me. I mean, I wrote him a check. It cashed. I don't know. I paid him what he asked. I even tipped him a couple hundred dollars. So I don't know what I did to upset him. Maybe he just thought, this isn't worth it. Why did I give this guy such a low quote? I don't know. Or maybe he's like, I don't know how to do this. He did a really good job on the driveway, though, but he just never finished it. So, and then, like, the tree guy, he was nice. I'm sure he would have cut me a deal, but
He said
he couldn't do it. And Poncho, yes, I have two different people now. I don't want to get, a word getting out, but now I have two different people who say they're going to come look at the air conditioning. So that's the thing you have to prioritize, too.
Yeah.
Like, what's it going to be? What do you think you can afford to fix? Which things will they possibly finance? You know, those different things.
They're not going to finance much with me.
I'll have to get Brooke to do it.
Right, yeah.
Hey, honey, you want to feel like you know, have more ownership of this home?
I'm going to be one of those guys who opens up all kinds of credit limits on with my kid's name.
Exactly. Dude, I've thought about having kids just for that reason.
With all the best intentions, like, yes. I'll pay it back. And then they're going to call me one day and be like, why do I have a 412 credit score? And I'll be like, well, time for me to die.
I mean, you laugh.
I have left you guys with just, it was horrifying what I did to you.
I've seriously considered going to the cemetery.
They're like, well, it came to all my
names.
Baseball games, but... literally wrecked my life. I'm like, yeah, boy.
They won't know it's you. Lots of people get their credit stolen. You just deny.
Yeah, I'll be doing the same thing. They did the same thing to me.
Right,
mine's exactly. 412.
What the hell? Who's got all their information?
The Church of Laszlo.
There's a lot to unpack with this Shohei Ohtani story.
It's a lot. So try and do the very, very basics.
I think I got it, I can roll it out for you. So, and this starts way at the beginning. So it's Shohei Ohtani and Mizuhara?
Mitsuhara. Yeah.
Mitsuhara.
Mm-hmm.
So Ohtani and Mitsuhara, they meet in Japan. Mitsuhara is a translator, and he's worked for another baseball player from Japan who went to the MLB and was a translator for them, right?
And it's a job. You get paid by the team. So, like, he was a translator
right.
for Shohei at the Angels. I think he said he made a few $100,000 or $500,000 a year or something
and
like
he's
that.
Also worked the other way. So I know he worked for, like, maybe Chris Martin. When Chris Martin, not from Coldplay, went to play in Japan, he did it backwards and forwards. So that's what he does.
And
he's an interpreter for baseball players.
He doesn't make Shohei money, but you get paid pretty well. It looks like he's making about $500,000,
right.
And you are paid by the team. And they also described Mitsuhara, at least in one of the things I was watching this morning, they described him as one of Shohei's best friends. Now, other things are just saying that they're very close and they're friendly, but seeing that they have a good relationship,
So then,
the story surrounds
2018, him. Shohei brings him with him to the U.S., right? And then... he signs with the Angels, right? They hire Mitsuhara to work as Ohtani's interpreter. We know what happened. Ohtani wins the MVPs, all that stuff. Now, in 2021, so he's been with the Angels for 3 years, Mitsuhara meets this guy, Boyer, okay?
Right.
Now, he meets this guy, Boyer.
But we're just learning this stuff now.
Right.
Yeah.
He meets this guy, Matthew Boyer, who's a bookmaker.
Mm-hmm.
And he meets him at a poker game in San Diego. Now, Mitsuhara apparently had been placing bets on DraftKings.
So he says.
Right.
He's changed his story a few times, but
But, I mean, that's what we're... No, I don't think this part he said. He's making bets on DraftKings,
mm-hmm.
and he meets Boyer, and Boyer's like, yo, just do your bets through me, man.
And so DraftKings would obviously be legal. In California, it's illegal, and I think doing the bets through Boyer would have been illegal.
Illegal gambling.
Yeah.
But now, Mitsuhara, which I kind of believe, I don't know, but he says, I didn't think it was illegal. Why can I bet on my phone, but I can't? He just thinks gambling's legal.
Yeah.
Okay?
And the MLB rules do allow you to gamble on things that aren't baseball.
Yes.
So, you know, every sport has their own rules,
right.
but in baseball, you can bet on sports when it's legal, as long as you're not betting on baseball.
Right.
Which Mitsuhara says he didn't bet on baseball.
No. And they say it's international soccer games and other things, is what they say, outside of baseball.
Yep.
But then in 2023, bank records show Ohtani's name on two $500,000 wire transfers sent to an associate of Boyer's. The description section of the transfers read, right?
Yes. So this is the bookmaker, and it's got Shohei Ohtani's name on it. He's the one sending the money.
Separate $500,000 wire transfers for $1 million.
One of the things that really gets me about this story is that the reason this whole thing seemed to break is because there had been some sports journalist or someone along the way had found out about some bank statements and transfers. I thought that stuff was private between you and your bank. How these wire transfer stuff got out, that part I'm not very clear on.
Okay,
because
I think I got it for you.
Okay, good.
So Mitsuhara later claims this was done, the $500,000 wire transfers was done after Ohtani agreed to cover $4.5 million of his gambling debt. So now Mitsuhara owns Boyer for $4.5 million.
Yeah.
He says Ohtani was not happy about it, but said he would help to make sure Mitsuhara wouldn't do it again.
Yeah. So, like, all right, I'll give you
like
the money,
my dad.
But you got to stop gambling.
Right,
yeah,
you
$4.5 million is a lot
right.
of money.
So Ohtani was also said to log onto his own computer and sent the wires under Mitsuhara's supervision.
Yeah.
All right?
And
now they asked why Ohtani didn't simply give him the money instead of paying Boyer directly. And Mitsuhara said Ohtani didn't trust me with the money, which makes sense. He said, if he Ohtani said, if I give you $4.5 million, you're going to go gamble it. So I can't do that. Mitsuhara then said he would pay him back.
Right.
All right.
So after this scandal sort of breaks this week, the spokesperson for Mitsuhara, and mm-hmm. maybe Shohei, but I think for Mitsuhara, gave ESPN a 90-minute interview for Tuesday night. And during that interview, Mitsuhara lays out his whole account of what went
down.
Well,
right. So before, in October of 2023, Boyer's home is raided.
Yeah, so we find
right,
out.
So about, Boyer's home is raided by federal authorities with a search warrant. Inventory showing cash, casino chips, banking documents, a money counting machine, everything you would think you would have from these things, portable storage device, cell phones, right?
Yeah.
Now,
under federal investigation. He's under federal investigation.
Right. Now, that's in October. In January, the feds, going through all the stuff, they see Ohtani's name.
Because it's his name on
right.
it.
Right.
So
Mitsuhara's. Those same federal authorities learn that Ohtani's name is on the wire payment. So they see the wire payment.
And that part I understand. Like the feds finding out if they're investigating this guy, I get it. It's interesting to me that, you know, it seems at least that journalists were like aware of this. Because
right. That's what it says.
They're asking
ESPN
Mitsuhara.
Eventually gets wind of the story.
Yeah. And so they're the one who are like, hey, give us a statement. So they get Mitsuhara
anybody,
over for a 90 minute
But it could
interview.
Be anybody because they say Boyer. Kind of...
Who's the bookie.
Right. He kind of allowed people to think, or know, depending on what you believe now, because we'll get into the conspiracy theories, that Ohtani was a client. So
that's his excuse.
So once he got raided, then how would they find out that Ohtani was there? Boom. All right. Boyer's kind of like, yeah, you know, Ohtani. Whatever.
Boyer said that he allowed Ohtani's name to be on these transfers because he thought it would look good to have him
yes,
as a client.
Of course.
That's what he is saying now. So Mitsuhara does this 90-minute he's given over to ESPN for this 90-minute
right.
interview because ESPN's the one asking questions, and he lays out his whole story.
Right.
However, as ESPN is prepared to publish the story, which was supposed to come out yesterday, right? Today, so it was supposed to come out Wednesday, the spokesman disavowed Mitsuhara's account and said Ohtani's lawyers are going to issue a statement.
Right.
So forget about everything he just said.
Right. So Mitsuhara, he says to ESPN, obviously he wasn't happy about it, and he said he would help me out to make sure I never do this again. He decided to pay it off for me. I want everyone to know Shohei had zero involvement in betting. I want people to know I did not know this was illegal. So he's saying, I didn't know betting with a bookie mm-hmm. was illegal. Mm-hmm. I didn't know it.
Mm-hmm.
I learned my lesson the hard way. I will never do sports betting again.
Yeah.
Now, March 20th, this is where it gets confusing.
Well, yesterday, right, because they tell ESPN, the spokesperson tells ESPN, pump the brakes, we're taking away, we're disavowing everything that Mitsuhara told you, and we're going to issue a statement.
Right.
And so they put out an official statement that says, in the course of responding to recent media inquiries, we discovered that Shohei has been the victim of a massive theft. And
right.
we are turning the matter over to the authorities.
Right.
And then they just declined to answer any further questions.
Right.
And the statement didn't specify whom they believe perpetrated these thefts. They just said, we believe he's been the
right.
victim
now,
of massive
Mitsuhara
thefts.
Mitsuhara agrees to another interview with ESPN, mm-hmm. but he says he was told he could not comment when asked if he has been accused of theft. He declines to say who told him that.
Yeah.
Mitsuhara then recants his story, claiming that Ohtani had no knowledge of his gambling activities or debts and that Ohtani did not make the wire transfers.
So all of this story now, he's now saying, forget that, which we'd already seen the spokesperson was pumping the brakes before ESPN even released
right.
the interview on Wednesday and said, we're going to put out this statement. It's like a one or two sentence statement. And then the next thing you know, Mitsuhara is talking again, and now he's changing his entire story.
Right. Now, the story is broken by the Los Angeles Times, and then Mitsuhara is fired from the Dodgers. On Tuesday, Ohtani's camp said the player was helping Mitsuhara with his gambling debts.
That's the Tuesday interview.
On Wednesday, that same camp said Mitsuhara made it all up and is a thief.
Mm-hmm.
Now, apparently that led to all sorts of conspiracy theories about Ohtani's involvement in gambling.
But Mitsuhara himself does say, Ohtani didn't know anything about this. So that, I mean, that changes everything. So then you go, okay, well, if there's this bookie who's getting these wire transfers for $500,000 and they've got Shohei's name on them, and it wasn't actually to cover Mitsuhara's gambling debt,
right?
Then was this money being stolen, which is what it sounds like they're now accusing? I would assume they're accusing Mitsuhara of it, but maybe they're accusing someone else of it. But it sounds like they're accusing Mitsuhara of, you know, then you
gambling
transferred
the 4.5.
You wire transferred this money, and that Ohtani had no idea that you were doing this.
Right.
I mean, is that what they're saying? Not like Ohtani's camp is now saying, unless I'm incorrect, no, he didn't loan him money to cover
That's
gambling debts. We didn't know. He's been the victim of a massive theft. So that would mean that this guy, like Billy
now,
Joel's
Ohtani's
manager.
Now, Ohtani's in Korea because they're doing opening day in Korea for San Diego and the Dodgers. And so, but some reporters stopped and he didn't talk to anybody.
Yeah.
So he walked away and what they said was guarded by the Dodgers PR.
Yeah. So the bookie says he never met or spoke. That's a Boyer guy. He says he never met or spoke to Shohei Ohtani. Never
right.
once. Now, that was actually his lawyer. She said that. But then she wouldn't answer any other questions. So he's saying, I never talked to him. Because now you're going, okay, well, where did this money come from? Did Mitsuhara, the translator, steal this money and transfer these funds to this bookie to gamble? And Shohei really didn't know about it? Or you'll see some headlines today that say, do we have another Pete Rose scandal with Shohei? Was Shohei gambling?
Look, I have two, Mike and my oldest son. Love baseball.
Mm-hmm.
All three of us, that we talk baseball all the time. I have a buddy of mine, Matt. I haven't talked to him about it, but those are the four people that I know watch as much baseball as I do, if not more. My Yiro and Mike, I asked them, and they both said 100% do Shohei bet on baseball. They are confident, 100% Shohei bet on baseball, 100% Matsuhara is taking the fall for him.
Well,
that's what they're both saying. That's what a lot of people are saying.
That was my instinct. When I saw that they said that Mitsuhara
is ride or die.
Once Mitsuhara told ESPN that Ohtani had no knowledge of the gambling or the debts or anything and had not transferred any of this money, once that got to that part of the story and that came out, I was like, oh, he's covering for him. You know, it's like organized crime almost. It's like, I'll take the fall for it.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm sure, you know, you're making $300,000-$500,000 a year. I'm sure Ohtani, as long as he's playing,
And I'm guessing then it would go on to say the Dodgers fire him. Mm-hmm. If he gambled the money or he stole it or whatever.
He has been fired.
Right. You know, I'm guessing Shohei and his lawyers could figure out a way to not prosecute him for that money, right?
Well, then why would it be?
But he could probably
scandal?
Go back to Japan and still do his job.
Yeah.
Because Japanese people love Shohei. I wouldn't even surprise me if Shohei silently called the Japanese Baseball League and was like,
hire this guy.
Yeah, he's good. Yeah. He didn't do anything wrong.
Or he can easily just give him the $500,000 a year for however long he would have been working.
$500 million right now.
Exactly.
Right, yeah.
But
now this is where I think it gets interesting.
We're
going
to figure out what the gambling was on, though, right? The federal because if baseball says you can gamble on other sports, well, what if he was just gambling on other sports?
You can't gamble illegally.
Well, right. So he's using a bookie. But that would be a very different scandal than Pete Rose, right?
It would be.
Because sports gambling is legal and somebody, now he was doing it in an illegal way. But I feel like that is a different, just a totally different type of scandal.
But it's still illegal gambling. We don't know that Michael Jordan. You know, all the rumors about that.
Right.
And they didn't know Pete gambled on baseball right away.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm sure the federal investigators are looking into it. I don't know if they'll be able to figure out what bets were made or not. But if they can and they find out that he bet on baseball.
Well, you're dealing with bookies.
Mm-hmm.
So how much time is that bookie looking at? How much of his records do they have?
Mm-hmm.
Right. What can they find? What can they not find? What will he say? What can he prove? What can he not prove? You don't know, right?
Yeah.
But I thought this was interesting, and I think worth noting at least, the transferring of money.
Mm-hmm.
So Ohtani sending two $500,000 wire transfers to...
It's like wire transfers, too.
Bowers, right? Mm-hmm. Though that, whether it's gambling or not, that's illegal.
To transfer that much money for tax purposes?
And- using a wire which entitles the recipient to receive money and credit as a result of bets or wagers. So, I know people say, well, he wasn't betting. But the $500,000 that he sent, and conceivably the $4.5 million eventually, although they don't have those in wire transfers, but they have $1 million, was sent to that guy because of gambling. Even if he was covering someone else's gambling.
Or if it was credit or debts owed or whatever.
Right. So he's sending money via wire for gambling debts is illegal in the U.S. criminal code.
Oh, so it's a federal law.
Yes.
Okay.
So.
Should have Venmo'd him.
Right. So his lawyers, Ohtani's camp, I think Ohtani's camp didn't know that. I think right away, Ohtani's camp, they say, here's the truth. The truth is, and now everybody else, all my buddies are telling me, you're wrong, man. You're dumb. He was betting on baseball. I think there's a chance Ohtani sent the money to cover his buddy's gambling, right? Did all that make sense to me?
Like
I'm not giving
story.
You the $1 million because you're going to gamble it.
Okay.
But I like you, and I just signed for 700. Like, really, 4.5 is a ton, but it ain't that big.
It's not
right?
To me.
And the way that, you know, you do your job is you cannot do this again.
Right.
But you're lucky you're my guy because I happen to have it.
It would be like you giving me a $5,000 loan. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, essentially, that's what it's like.
Right.
So,
like, it's not comfortable, and I'm very angry about it, but we can get through this. I think they tell that story.
And send him to tell ESPN that story on Tuesday.
That's the story, and they realize at that point, we just admitted guilt.
Because the wire transfer.
Because of the wire transfer.
Gotcha.
We're screwed.
And so that's when they say, hit the brakes. We retract
all of
that.
We retract all of that.
He's been the victim of theft.
He stole it.
And then they go to Mitsuhara, and they're like,
you are going
to take the fall.
They tell Mitsuhara before, and they're like,
you got to take the fall, man.
We cannot do this, or else Shohei can't play baseball anymore.
Yeah.
And Mitsuhara's like, well, I can't be the guy who doesn't let Shohei can't play baseball.
The greatest player.
Yeah. The greatest player, maybe of all time.
Yeah.
I can't be the guy who stops his career.
Turn that down for $200,000.
Because I literally asked him to borrow $4.5 million because I have a gambling problem. Like, anybody wouldn't. Even if he didn't pay me anymore, I'd be like, dude,
yes. No, that makes, I mean, no.
That makes the most sense to me.
That makes sense. Honestly, I guess as
I think it could be such a small thing that the lawyers are like, I think maybe when he sees, you know, they're all talking about like, all right, we're covered. They're looking and somebody says, like, dude, that is a criminal code.
Right.
And they're like, oh.
Because, you know, if Mitsuhara is the one gambling, and he's not gambling. We can say he's not gambling on baseball.
And the way
maybe
it's
he wasn't
worded when I see
baseball.
It, the recipients to receive money or credit as a result of bets or wagers.
As a result.
And I,
of
so
bets
I think
wagers.
That would be arguable in court because they would say, well, it wasn't his bets or wagers. Mm-hmm. And then if they really wanted to prosecute him, they said, it doesn't have to be his. It's bets or wagers, sir.
Yeah.
And so I think all of a sudden the lawyers start arguing about that. And then somebody's like, we're not even going to argue it.
Yeah.
Mitsuhara, fall on the sword.
I get what you're saying.
I think that's
it's
it.
It's totally possible. I guess.
I think it's also possible that he was gambling. Mitsuhara's falling on the sword anyway.
Yeah, because I go back
but
to where
was
we were Tuesday.
But if he's going to have Mitsuhara, here's my one question with that, which I'm arguing with my buddies about. If he's going to have Mitsuhara do his gambling for him, right? Like put $1 million on the Yankees.
Why use his name?
Why pay him the $500,000 under his name? He doesn't have to do it. He just put it on Mitsuhara's name.
Well, so I guess my thought was that maybe Mitsuhara wasn't, you know, even all that involved with it. Shohei could be gambling with this Bauer guy.
Right.
He's sending him wire transfers. Suddenly, Bauer's getting investigated. ESPN catches wind that there's transfers with a big celebrity named Shohei Ohtani that everybody knows. And they come to him and like, oh, crap, what do we do? And say, oh, say it was Mitsuhara gambling. Say it was the translator. Say he was gambling. And
so do they get to Bowers somehow? I mean, now you're talking. This is a pretty big conspiracy, but okay. Then you'd have to say, we get to Bowers somehow. And you have to tell everyone the entire story. But instead of it being Shohei, you have to say Mitsuhara. So you met Mitsuhara at a poker place instead of Shohei at a poker place. That's possible. Mm-hmm. It's certainly possible.
Mm-hmm.
The other one's
and to make sure you make a statement to say I never actually spoke to him on the phone or in person, and I just allowed his name to be on the books because I thought it made my business look cool. That to me is like, I'm with you. Either one's plausible.
But the other one takes a little bit more work. The one where Ohtani's gambling, it takes a little bit more work.
It just if I go back to Tuesday and here's Mitsuhara going to ESPN and basically falling on the sword. I had this gambling debt. He helped me pay it off. You know, and that's where
that sounds right.
That to me sounds like Shohei was betting on sports.
It does.
It does to me. But then when
sounds to me like Shohei doesn't gamble. Mitsuhara's gambling. Mitsuhara and him are buddies. And Mitsuhara is now just, he keeps getting deeper and deeper and deeper. And now he's $4.5 million in with Bowers. And he has to have a come to Shohei meeting.
To me, a guy
and
who
Shohei's
makes,
like, Jesus Christ, dude.
To me, a guy who makes Shohei money is the kind of guy who easily has $4.5 million worth of wagers with a guy like Bowers. Not Mitsuhara. Now, Mitsuhara makes $300,000 to $500,000 a year. Could he work up that kind of debt? Sure. But to me, it's like $4.5 million going to this bookie. Who has money to make that happen pretty easily? Shohei Ohtani. So you have to come up with a story that says Mitsuhara incurred all this gambling debt because he's this degenerate gambler, which is believable, don't get me wrong. But it's just like, the transfer said Shohei. Shohei's sending this bookie money. You know, if it looks like a duck and it quacks like a duck,
it might
be the translator. Well, I don't know.
No, I mean, that's what all my friends are saying.
Yeah.
I thought the story Mitsuhara told the first time sounded plausible to me. He has a gambling debt.
I do, too.
It's a lot of money.
It's possible.
And it's been going up and going up and going up, and he's got to come to Shohei. Because I don't know why Shohei would send the wire transfer under his name. That's what I don't get.
That's true. No.
That's where I'm like, he's not an idiot.
Reski just thinks, you know, how would anybody ever find out?
I think he's the part of it that makes him kind of an idiot is that I'll just wire him the money. You can't touch it.
Right.
That kind of makes him naive to what's illegal and not illegal in this country, right?
Yeah. Well, there you have it. That's the basics of the story. And we may get more of it today.
I think we're going to continue to get
breaking.
More of it.
Yep.
More and more of it. And I don't think people are going to stop. If Shohei was gambling, they're going to find out.
Yeah. And I'm curious what you think. Shohei was betting on sports and his interpreter was trying to cover? Tell us, twitch.tv/Church of Lazo. I'm curious what the percentage is, the general population here. I could go either way.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's time to doom scroll with Slim Fast.
What you don't know could kill you.
Murder hornets.
Corpies infected monkeys.
This is Headlines on the Church of Laszlo.
You just get paid.
Whoa, you can't say that.
You can't say what?
Are you ready to do the news?
Yeah, but I don't know why you got so... is not a bad word.
That was off the air. That was off the air conversation, so people want
but
to
you can
that.
Say that word, right?
I don't know. I really don't. I don't know. There's no list, okay? It's you know this. You act like you don't know this, but you know
this. Yeah, that's why.
No, you just push boundaries, and then you look at me or Snowcone, and you go, but no, but you can say that, right? I think you can say that. And the thing is, you know that we don't know because no one knows. No one knows. There's no way to know. I know we say that a lot as a joke. That's Snowcone's little catchphrase. Mm-hmm. But you literally, there is actually no way to know. You just have to...
There's not even a definition for it. It's a made-up word.
You just have to kind of feel it out.
The closest Merriam-Webster gets to is splurge.
Okay, well, that's right. So just
I'm going to splurge all over you.
See, it's context, though.
But I can say splurge all over you.
No, that's the thing.
I can say that means to give ostentatious effort, expenditure. You know.
You're going to give me a bunch of money, right? I get it.
I'm going to splurge all over you.
I'll be your interpreter. You'll cover all my gambling debts. Let's move on to the news here. The big story. It's been a big story now for, I don't know, a week or two. It's a big story two or three times a year. I guess, you know, I get caught up in it sometimes too, but at this point it's just like, how often do you have to hear about it? It's almost impossible to win, But I know someone's going to win it. So Powerball and Mega Millions, okay. Neither one of them have been won. And instead of just saying, like, look how big Powerball is, it's 700 million. Look how big Mega Millions is. They have to combine them as if someone's going to win both of these. You know, there's going to be a person in L.A. who buys both tickets and ends up being the sole winner. But and look, I mean, that's also possible, but not really. But that's the way that the media likes to portray it. You could go out today, buy these two tickets, and if you win both of them, you'd be worth $1.5 billion.
It's true.
Those jaw-dropping lottery jackpots, they just keep getting bigger, folks. Nobody won the top prize in last night's Powerball drawing. The jackpot balloons to a nice round $750 million
I'll
as
take
a result.
It.
One more, the estimated Mega Millions jackpot. It's now $977 million. Put them both together, and we're talking about somewhere around $1.7 billion.
Okay, you know what? I used to actually kind of enjoy this, and I used to enjoy the fantasizing about what it would be like to win. But I'm starting to just get irritated with it. It's a con. It's a con. Look, I'm a capitalist guy. I'm no commie. I'm not red, okay? But
no pinko.
They sit there on TV, and they do this now 2-3 times a year. You're only this far away. You're going to be, hey, forget about the $750 million. Buy both tickets. You might win both.
Yeah, you might.
Be worth $1.7 billion.
That's what I do know. You can't win if you don't buy a ticket.
Yeah, well, I also know that every dollar that I spend on that thing that I don't win is, I don't have to take that damn tree down to my backyard. You got stuff that's got
to
get done.
You don't have enough
dollars
to take the tree down. I know. Unless you win.
Unless
I win. So it's a solid investment.
Well, I guess that's why people love these stories so much. I don't know why I feel so negative about it lately. It just feels like they're doing it too often. You know, you've made it so much harder to win, so of course the jackpots are going to get bigger.
When you do win.
Like, you know, now I think you just need to set the standard. Don't even start talking about it until the individual prize is over $1 billion. Then go ahead, sure.
Yeah.
But if this is going to happen 3 times a year, then why is it big?
Buy a few tickets. Splurge.
Go on yourself. Richard Simmons. Actually, let's save Richard Simmons. We'll talk about him here in a little bit. Michigan, your home state. Outback Steakhouse.
Yeah.
I used to go there. Oh, I think once a week. We did like a steak night. They had some sort of a weekly deal.
Outback. I haven't gone there in a while, though.
Me neither, because they closed the couple that were like
the one over by the mall we used to go to. But, you know, hey, neither one of these places pay me, but they put a Longhorn and a Texas Roadhouse, you know, all within the same different
distance. Those are my dad's two favorite restaurants.
Yeah. Which one do you like better?
I think he liked the Longhorn, actually.
Yeah, me too.
I think my mom liked Texas Roadhouse.
Yeah, you know, it's split in our family, too. I'm a Longhorn guy.
Yeah, my dad loved it. You know, we used to, you know,
the rolls at, you know,
that's the thing.
Texas Roadhouse, you
it
know,
it puts it over the edge
yeah,
a little
it does.
Bit. I like seeing the meat when I walk in.
But
you
I'm
know?
Telling you, I think Longhorn's better. But what
and
I
the
know?
Sweet tea, there's a few
well,
factors.
You
but
know, I think Longhorn, you should send me a gift certificate, and Texas Roadhouse could send you a gift certificate. They're right next to each other. And we could just eat at the same time.
Man, I might have a Longhorn gift certificate. Let me check my wallet, but I think that Brooks.
Well, I don't need you to give
point.
Me it to
okay,
me.
Well, yeah. If you,
you
need
might
if you
use
want
it,
to,
though.
I might, but I don't know where one's at. There's
one right up the street. On Metcalf.
There used to be the Outback that I used to go to the most was right here by the building, and that's been closed for
now
a long time.
Now there's one over by the mall.
Yeah. So, Michigan, they still got Outbacks there, at least one that I know of because of this story. And a kid orders a virgin daiquiri, you know?
Yeah.
He's 12 years old. He's not old enough to drink. Give me the virgin daiquiri.
They put booze in it?
They put some booze in it.
It happens sometimes.
Yeah, they're like, hey, the headlines are like, oh, 12-year-old ends up with a hangover. I'm like, okay, how many? They gave him the one thing. It happens. And when you say, give me a virgin whatever, you're playing with fire a little bit, right?
Because
that's got to go to the bartender.
The
bartender sees the thing. Exactly. And people who don't drink alcohol know that because I know a lot of people don't drink alcohol, and I see them order these virgin drinks, and then they always ask again, just making sure there's no alcohol in this, right? Because they know that it just, even though it's the same bartender, he's back there, it's muscle memory.
Yeah.
I've never really been all that into the N.A. stuff. Like, I like, you know, Pepsi's pretty good. Mr. Pitt's pretty good. You bring N.A. beer in here sometimes.
You bought it before. I've seen it at your house before.
Years and years ago, I used to buy some sort of N.A. beer. I think it was like Bush or something, and get Joe's. I would go up there and get a Z-Man. But I just kind of was like, you know what? I like soft drinks. They're so good. They don't have alcohol in them. Anyway, I understand.
I mean, when I wasn't drinking, I will say that it was nice to have
People love
it. In a beer, like, you know,
people
I
love
do
them.
Like the taste of beer. I wouldn't drink it nearly as much as I drink regular beer.
Right.
But, you know,
no.
Hot outside, man, feels good sometimes.
And those Heineken, they've gotten a lot better than they were when we were young, like in the 90s. And I see articles 2-3 times a year about how big that industry is getting. All of the different beverage companies trying to come out with more NAs. Now they've got NA seltzers, you know, it's like, isn't that carbonated water?
Yes.
But they instead they put some hop flavor in it. I think they call it like hop. Someone on Twitch will know. I think I've tried most of those things. The thing is, when you order them at the bar, though, and they have, if you go to a restaurant and they've got a menu and they've got a list of like virgin drinks, you know, non-alcoholic, all of those are some sort of juice. Like everyone that I've had, it's some sort of lemonade. When you drink it, you're like, okay, well, it says it was whatever, but it tastes like a really good strawberry lemonade.
They mix juice together.
Yeah, I mean, there's only so much you can do. Anyhow, this kid ordered a Virgin Daiquiri at Outback. They accidentally gave him booze. I don't think it's the end of the world. Reminds me of the guy who ordered his kid a lemonade at the ballpark, ended up being a Mike's Hard Lemonade. Became the crisis of the damn century. Like, I thought they were going to take the kid away from his dad. It was ridiculous.
I felt bad for that guy.
Me too.
It didn't taste like how when I had it the other times, and it just didn't taste normal. My head started hurting when I was leaving, and my heart started beating as I was drinking it.
It's supposed to be a virgin daiquiri, but it says a daiquiri. The diagnosis was accidental exposure to alcohol and accidental ingestion.
Accidental ingestion of alcohol. Now, my question is, you know, of course, when he's on TV and he's talking to his mom, he's like, I started feeling not good. You got to take me to the doctor. Something's wrong. But what is he actually thinking? Is he thinking, oh, this is great. Oh, my God. I feel so good. I want to text that girl at school right now.
How much did he drink?
It's one daiquiri. That's my thing. Like,
How old is he?
12. He's young, but still.
I think he'd be fine.
They said, I mean, unless there was more than one. If they said that they kept bringing him these daiquiris, but it just says that he ordered this daiquiri and it accidentally came with Bacardi rum in it.
I've given my kids sips of beer or whatever.
Yeah. My mom used to let me drink in the car when I was a kid.
I wouldn't do that, but, you know, I think I have before. I don't remember it. I do think I have, like. Really hot in a golf cart one time. I think I let them both have a slug of Coors Light before we got to the thing to get water. Who cares? But I'm trying to think, like, my 12-year-old couldn't. I think if he had one daiquiri, I think he might be like, I feel weird, but I don't think he'd be like, take me to the hospital.
Like, oh, my head hurts. There's something wrong. I don't know what's going on. And then they're like, oh, it turns out it's accidental alcohol intoxication. You took a shot of
Bacardi
rum.
And now my grandpa used to give me the champagne of beers when I was that old.
Mm-hmm.
Just be like, yo. You want one of these? Yeah, and a cool.
Oh, there you go.
A cool cigarette.
Now, giving you cigarettes. I wasn't allowed that.
I'll be like, hey, I want to be like you. And he's like, well, here. Don't tell your parents. It was always Miller High Life and have a cool cigarette. And I remember the first time he gave it to me, he's like, you're going to cough and hate this. And I didn't. And he was like, one of us. One of us, little man.
My cousins all smoked, which they were old enough to be my uncles. They all smoked cigarette brands that were so cheap you never heard of them. I mean, I really do think the story was that they drove to like reservations to get, you know, the tax-free cigarettes. These cigarettes came in like white packs and said cigarettes on them. And as a kid, I had a couple cousins that would be willing to give me a smoke, but I just remember thinking like, I shouldn't. Now, I don't want to get cancer from that cigarette.
I know.
You know what I mean? Know. I was like, that's not a good enough cigarette. My mom was so anti-smoking. It was like that. She was so hyper-focused on it. The alcohol, you know, if they wanted to give me a sip of booze or whatever, that was okay. But no smoking. That was absolutely forbidden.
Well, smoking is much more addictive.
Well, I don't know why. You know, my mom just thought it was, I guess she just thought it was a disgusting habit. She didn't smoke. I don't think, she never smoked, you know. So that's.
I'm just saying, I think you could drink a beer and not be like, I want another one.
Right, the cigarettes don't take long.
I think after 3 cigarettes, you're like, that was pretty good. I'd like another one. It's quick, man.
Well, especially if you got someone sitting there telling you, this is how you smoke the cigarette.
Right,
because when you take that first puff, you just, you know, you blow in the smoke out.
And you just blow the smoke out.
And then someone says, take a puff. Hold it in your mouth now. Breathe in. And when you do that first inhale, I think from that moment that I took the first, you know, actual drag of a cigarette where I inhaled that first drag, and I remember it.
Yeah.
It was a Camel Special Light. I'd had cigarettes before, but I'd never smoked them properly. I was hooked from that moment on. I mean, that weekend alone, I think my buddy and I, we went through 13 packs of cigarettes because we had the Camel dollars so we could keep track. So from a Friday afternoon to a Sunday night, we went through 13 packs of cigarettes because we were able to get them.
Yeah.
And like, this is the greatest thing. We were smoking one after the other after the other. So which is more addictive? I don't know. You hear a lot of rock stars. Ozzy famously talked about the hardest drug to quit was cigarettes. I'm pretty sure it was him. You hear people talk about that.
I literally quit everything.
Yeah.
You know, on and off again.
Yeah.
In cigarettes.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Yeah. Nicotine is a son of a gun.
But it also, not only the nicotine, but it's also the way that it plays on your brain, which is, and I've talked to my doctor about it, it's like, with the alcohol, you can be like, man, two more shots of this, and I could get in trouble.
Right.
Like,
right.
But with the cigarettes, it's like, this cigarette right here
won't be the
it's
one.
Not going to kill me.
It's not the one.
It's not going to.
Yep. I might already be dying,
right.
But it's not this one.
This one isn't going to literally kill me, and that's the problem. I'm not going to get in trouble. There's nothing, there's no immediate consequence from it. Now, it will play a part in my death.
Yeah.
And as they go on and on and on, it will be a part of why I die early.
Yeah.
But this one right here isn't going to kill me, and that's what, you know, that's the problem. Your brain can put that off.
It rationalizes it. Yeah. Yeah, my mom used to say each one was a nail in your coffin. Yeah. You know, just another nail in your coffin. Okay, well, but unlike you, because you and I have had this conversation before, when I was young and I would smoke, each time I finished a cigarette, I felt guilty.
Right.
I was like, that probably is going to kill me. Because there had been so much dare and everything else that I'd been exposed to, probably more so than you, because smoking at that point, that became like their priority. We're going to stop kids from smoking. They scared the crap out of you. But I liked it. But every time I finished a cigarette, I was like, I should stop doing this.
Yeah.
But then I'd smoke again.
I'm closer to that now.
To wanting to be like, I need to stop?
Yeah.
Yeah. You should quit.
Just use the
nicotine. I don't know how much better it is for you, but you're not smoking. You know, I haven't heard yet of someone dying from it. So I remember when I really quit the first time we were in Seattle. And I was dating my ex, and she was like, I don't like the smoking so much. I was like, oh, quit. It's fine. No problem. So I'm thinking this will be easy, and I quit. And I remember we were at the store, and she's like, you are such a dick.
Yeah.
You've just been really rude. And she's like, you need nicotine replacement or whatever. And I was like, what? And I really thought I wasn't addicted. I told everyone, I just like smoking. I'm not. It's really not addictive.
Right.
I just really like the action of it. I think it tastes good. And then I realized that first time I tried to quit, and I did quit for a while, that I was addicted to nicotine because she bought me some nicotine gum, and suddenly I was a nicer person. Yeah, and I was like, damn.
Yeah. I have all the stuff in my car.
Because I can't explain what nicotine does. Can you? It's like my body says, take more, get more.
Yeah,
more. I don't really know what it's doing.
Yeah.
I just know that I always want more of it.
And if, yeah, I don't even know that it feels good.
That's what I'm saying. You can't describe it.
It calms me down, though, it does.
You can't describe it to someone. Well, and it can be stimulating in the morning.
Right.
It can wake. But it is hard to describe to someone. I've done a test where I put in my vape nicotine-free juice, and I'm like, I'll bet I use it just as much. I absolutely did not. I would forget about it for long periods of time. I'm like, oh, my God. Your brain just knows. You took a couple drags of that, and it went, well, that sucks. You don't need that again. It's not even a conscious thought. I remember thinking about it. I was like, oh, my God, it's been hours since I touched that thing. I should get some nicotine back in there before I become,
right,
you know,
sure.
Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
I'm going to go smoke.
The Church of Laszlo.
It's time to doom scroll with Slim Fast.
What you don't know could kill you.
Murder hornets.
Corpies infected monkeys.
This is Headlines on the Church of Laszlo.
Yo! What's going on?
We are finishing the news, my
good,
friend.
Good, let's do it.
The Little Rascals. Did you watch Little Rascals when you were a kid? Not the 90s movie, although that was great too. The police dubbed a group of bank robbers the Three Little Rascals. They called them Little Rascals. It was three kids. These kids were on spring break. Their ages. The oldest one is 16. Okay, I could, you know, you see that.
He's the ringleader?
He must be, I would hope, but who knows? The other ones are 12 and 11.
Okay.
You got an 11-year-old. If you're 11 and you rob a bank,
you got balls.
You got balls. You might break a record.
Yeah, right.
I mean, we can't go back and know what happened in Wild West times. Who knows?
Sure.
But in the modern age, I don't know. They could look back and see who's the youngest person in the United States to rob a bank. I'll bet you hold the record. And here's the thing: if you're going in as an 11-year-old to rob a bank, my thing is, I'm going to say your chances are not very good, my friend. Robbing a bank seems very difficult. We've all thought about it.
Sure.
I don't care how all, you know, holy, altruistic, spiritual, religious, whatever. Everyone's thought about, how do you rob a bank? Could you rob a bank? How hard would it be to rob a bank? It's pretty hard, I think. And an 11-year-old, I would think, would have an extra difficult time with it because he's 11 years old. But Laszlo, it worked.
They didn't get away with it because we're talking about it.
Well, the mom turned them in. But the thing is, I mean, they went in, they give them the note, they left with something. We don't know how much, but they said they left with money. I mean, robbing the bank and getting out of there with money is an accomplishment.
Quite an accomplishment.
A lot of people go in there and get nothing. The doors get locked, and they wait for the cops. Or they get a bag full of dye packs, or they panic because they're like, I can't get to the money, and they run out
empty-handed.
They got to
take hostages like Dog Day Afternoon.
Exactly, right?
Never goes smooth.
Yeah. So, and you don't want an 11-year-old being in charge of a bunch of hostages. It just becomes a mess. But, I mean, I feel like, you know, getting out of there with money is something.
They're being called the Little Rascals bank robbers. The FBI says kids ages 11, 12, and 16 just pulled off a bank heist during spring break from school. Authorities say the boys passed a threatening note to the teller at a Wells Fargo bank in Houston. Then they ran off with an undisclosed amount of cash.
An undisclosed amount of cash? I want to know how much they got. They pass this threatening letter to the bank teller. They get some money, and then they fled on foot. Didn't say anything about, I was hoping they had bicycles or something, but it didn't say anything about that. They just ran away on foot. But the parents of two of the boys saw this, identified them.
What did they see?
The FBI had released photos and said, hey, does anyone know who these little rascals are that robbed this bank? And the parents of two of them were like, God damn it.
And they turned them in?
Yes. They called the FBI.
Those are horrible parents.
And then the third boy ended up being identified by authorities. I'm sure once you got the two in for mom and dad.
His friends.
But if mom and dad hadn't called the feds,
they might have gotten away with it.
They might have gotten away with it. A spring break bank robbery at 11
years old. Nobody else called, like the teachers or anything? They didn't get just the parents.
The story just says that the parents of two of the boys.
And they had pictures of them on camera?
There was
they didn't have masks on or anything?
Well, their faces, they had hoodies on and their faces were slightly covered. But parents recognized two of them. Of course, they're not releasing their names or any of that stuff. But, you know, if it's a bank robbery, so it's automatically FBI. Anytime there's a bank robbery, that's their job because it's federally insured. So you got, you know, this is no offense to the cops. I'm not saying FBI agents are smarter. It does seem like the FBI has more resources.
For sure.
So if the FBI is coming after you, that's really bad. That's worse than just, you know, the sheriff's department, which is also bad.
Right.
But the FBI coming after you, your chances, I feel like, are pretty low. But in this instance, they got three kids. Presumably, they don't have, like, a record. The FBI doesn't say, hey, let's look through a book of mugshots and see who this looks like. This is probably their first major crime.
Sure.
Probably their first armed robbery, right?
They got to look through school yearbooks.
Exactly. They're not going to find him. You wouldn't turn in your kid, would you?
No.
There is no way. I'd play dumb. And if they came to me and said, his picture is right there. He was wearing your sweatshirt. How'd you not know it was him? Be like, I don't watch the news.
I mean, that's what I would do. Attention.
Exactly. I didn't know.
I looked at it. I thought for a second, hey, it kind of looks like my kid. And then I moved on. I know it wasn't
that's
him.
That's it. Whatever.
I still don't think it's him.
Yeah. I don't believe my kid would do that, so it didn't even cross my mind. They turned him in. Yeah. I mean, I'm not a parent, so I don't know what you do.
I would not do that. No one was hurt, right?
No. They said they passed this letter off, and they left with an undisclosed amount of money. On foot. There were no cops that like came and grabbed them. They made it. It sounds to me like they made it home. Mom and dad are like, hey, did you rob the bank? Because you're all over the news. And then they turned them in. Maybe the parents thought the feds are going to find out.
Let them find out.
That's my thing. Let
them
come to the house.
No reason for me to help them.
Exactly. Come to the house and I'll hand them over, I guess.
Yeah, if I saw it, I don't know what I would say to them. I mean.
Nothing. You don't talk to cops. What are you talking
about? No, your kids.
Oh, yeah.
How do you handle that? Like, I know it was you.
I mean, I'm helping them at that point.
Like, right, you, so now you, I'm in
you
trouble,
need,
too.
You need to lay low. And I would also say delete all, if you have any social media, delete it.
Yeah.
I don't want your pictures. They're still going to be out there somewhere, I know, but just do what we can. I want all your social media down. Mm-hmm. Is that suspicious? Well, who cares?
Right.
If they don't know, just get all that stuff down. I don't want them finding you. You know, lay low.
Then you're going to get in trouble, too.
For what?
Helping your kid get away with bank robbery?
Helping my kids? I didn't know. Look, I could easily say, I was worried that you were going to come after my boys because I know they kind of look like
right. I mean, that's
TV.
What you'd have to say.
That's all you have to say, right? Like, I don't need my kids being harassed. My kid already gets picked on, and now I got the
Then you'd have
coming.
To do, like, what was that show that we watched with the judge?
Oh, yeah. What was that? On Showtime?
Yeah, that was good. Where he went that next day
yeah,
and said, we're going to do all this stuff. And then he said to the bum, like, hey, do you know what day it is? And he's like, no. He's like, ah. And he looked up and he goes, it's April 8th.
Yeah.
Right? It's Wednesday.
Yep.
And then that way when the cops get in, like, hey, did you see this guy here? He's like, yeah, on Wednesday.
Yep.
He was smart about it.
And, you know, if you got the brains and the ability to go try and do that stuff, well, then go do that stuff, too. It would help. Here's what I wouldn't do is look up the FBI's phone number and call them and say, I think that's my boys on TV.
Yeah, no.
I don't want them getting mad at me. It's their kids. And I don't know the full story. Maybe they're, you know, maybe the kids were threatening them and waving guns around. I don't know. But it just seems odd that you would turn your kids in for a bank robbery. And I want to know how much money they got. Whether they left with $500 or $30,000, it's still impressive. 11 and 12 year old.
But whatever they got away with.
I mean, they
got
to make a movie now. They made that movie in the 80s with the two kids that were bad.
When I was little, I used to have to go in the bank. My mom, I'd turn that slip over and I'd write, give me all your money.
Mm-mm. Can't do that.
And then I'd put it in the middle of the stack, right? Yeah, yeah. So if somebody handed it to him, I always thought that would be funny.
Real funny.
I did.
Yeah, I know. As a kid, you think that stuff is funny.
That's super funny. Like in 2 days, somebody's going to get to the stack,
yep.
And if they don't turn it over,
yep.
Man,
yep.
I won't be here to see it, but it's going to be funny.
I used to write in the memo lines on my mom's checks, you know, funny stuff.
Like what?
You know, like inappropriate stuff. I don't really remember. And she wouldn't usually notice, but then one time she obviously my handwriting, she got mad, I stopped doing that. One time I saw Speed with Keanu Reeves.
Yeah.
And I really liked it. I think I saw it a couple times back to back. So on the school bus, I took my notebook and ripped a piece of paper and I wrote on it with the marker, bomb on bus. And I held the piece of paper up to the window. Laszlo, the van or the bus got pulled over. We had to pull over. It was this whole thing.
Did they know it was you?
They said someone was holding a sign up. I'm like, who's holding the sign up? They didn't figure out who was holding it up. Everyone on the bus got in trouble. Everyone was late to school, but they couldn't figure out who was holding the sign up. Nobody told on me. By the way,
did they know?
Big Russ was there.
He was.
And he did not tell on me.
Well, of course not. He was your lover.
He thought it was funny. He was not my lover.
You guys were star-crossed lovers.
No, he was just a guy I knew.
You were trampoline buddies.
Just somebody that I used to know.
Hand job Freddy.
Whoa. That's good.
You can say that.
I'm going to start counting how many times a day Laszlo says you can say that.
I know you can say that.
Richard Simmons, you can say that.
Yeah, and I bet he's...
Richard...
Come on.
Laszlo.
Couple of these.
Don't be part of the problem.
What's the problem?
That's part of why he went into hiding.
Why?
Because people were picking on him like what you're
doing.
Picking on him. He doesn't want to talk about that stuff. That's very clear.
Though.
Well, is it true? That's ridiculous.
You don't think that's true?
That's not the question. The question is, do you need to do it?
Well,
you're
I
on
just
camera.
Mentioned it.
You're on Twitch.
It happened to be a segue.
Yeah.
No, I was talking about that.
A segue. Yeah.
And then you said, Rich, speaking of that.
Well, the point is, he's a human being. He's probably watching right now.
I can't imagine that.
But so if you don't know anything about the
Richard
Simmons.
If you'd like to meet Richard Simmons, he's right now watching us on twitch.tv/Church Laszlo.
I'm sure he is.
Yeah.
So there was this whole thing about Richard Simmons. He disappeared from the public. He was doing. He was still doing. You know, what do they call them? Classes, I guess. Right. And
walk away the pounds.
And then one day,
sweating to the oldies.
Yeah. One day, people that went to his classes came in, and he wasn't there.
Man, Oregon's going to pull this off, I got him beating South Carolina. That's a big upset.
I hope you win big.
11-6. Well, it's just in my pool, so
you
got to do more. But I did pick Oregon.
Gotcha. So Richard Simmons.
The Pac-12 is better than you think. Go on. I don't know anything about college basketball.
Richard Simmons goes missing. People start thinking maybe he's dead. Maybe one
Richard Simmons just logged on.
One of the theories was that, and I know you said you didn't listen to the podcast, but you watched the documentary. One of the theories was that his maid, is that what you call it? His assistant.
Richard Simmons had a maid?
That was a big part of this whole thing, was that they thought maybe his assistant was taking advantage of him.
Of the maid?
Taking advantage of Richard Simmons.
The maid was the assistant?
I'm saying, I don't know what you call it. A maid, an assistant. She was like a housekeeper, something like that.
Did she just clean his house or did she do other stuff?
She did all kinds of stuff for him.
Maybe his personal assistant then.
Might have been, yeah. I can't remember if they called her the personal assistant or maid or what they called her. But that was one of the conspiracies. Like, oh, maybe she's taking advantage of him and she's in his head and she's telling him what to do and she's stealing money from him.
He's
and
listening to his assistant?
She's telling him what to say publicly. Well, that was one of the theories of this
whole thing. She bet $4.5 million on baseball?
No, I didn't hear that part. Hmm. So, but there were several conspiracy theories, but no. The bottom line was...
Is his personal assistant his interpreter?
No. The bottom line was nobody heard from him.
He's like, hey! She's like, he said hello.
There were a lot of rumors.
Oh, okay.
And then finally he started talking.
David, but he's upset with you.
So he pops up all of a sudden. Here's Richard Simmons. He's back. He's on social media. But he's saying weird things.
Does he call himself Rich now?
He calls himself Richard Simmons, there's been some weird things, and especially
weird, right? If you're trying to change everything, call himself Rich Simmons.
He said some really weird things this week. He posted this. Listen, I don't want you to feel sad or sorry for me. Something along these lines, but I'm dying.
Aww.
That's what he says. But then later he's like, oh, sorry. I didn't mean to lead you to believe that I was dying. I'm not dying. I was just saying that you should live your life. I have skin cancer. Laszlo, he's all over the place. So now, of course, this has led to more conspiracy theories.
I'm always freaked out by skin cancer. Well, I'm freaked out by the fact that people die from it.
Yeah. I think it's like
I didn't know that.
I think it's like one of the most
My grandmother had it forever.
Lethal.
So my grandmother, My entire life, she was always out in the sun, loves the sun, and then moved to Florida and was always tan and everything else.
Okay.
I had skin cancer, but never an issue. Like, literally, she would just call my dad and be like, oh, I got to go to the doctor. They got to take off this whatever, this skin whatever thing, and then they'd cut it off and be gone.
Yeah. So Richard Simmons said he had one on his face. I was told in fifth grade.
She used to get them all the time.
I was told in fifth grade I had skin cancer.
I didn't
know
you could die from it.
I did. Because of
you
the
died from it?
No, I knew that you could die from it.
Oh, I thought you did die from it.
They told me in the fifth grade I had it.
Why would you have it? You never go in the sun.
Dude, I was so dark when I was a kid. I was out in the sun all the time, no sunscreen. I've got old pictures of me. I was 10 shades darker than I am right now. And my mom took me to the dermatologist, and they thought I had skin cancer. They did surgery on my back. They're like, we know he has it, but we got to test it to make sure.
Oh,
so
boy.
For 2 weeks, my parents thought I had skin cancer. I thought I had it. Look it up. But I think that skin cancer might be the number one, like the most lethal or the number one
cause of death.
I feel like I've heard that it's the number one cause of the number one cancer cause of death.
Right.
Or most fatal cancer. Something along those lines. I don't know. We got to take a break.
The church
of selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hello. All right, what's going on?
Did you see that we're getting a new amusement park?
Oh, man, they're building a bunch of stuff out there.
The Mattel Adventure Park?
Yeah.
Remember I told you I heard a rumor from someone that we were going to get an amusement park, but it wasn't this? Now I'm wondering if that person got that rumor because this was happening, and
right.
They just got it wrong a little bit. But it's there's articles. If you just type in, I mean, you can even just search amusement park Kansas City or Mattel Park. It says, soon Barbie will be saying hi, Kansas City, when a second Mattel Adventure Park opens in 2026. That's not that long. Mattel will be bringing its iconic portfolio of brands to life in an all-new way at the resort destination, breaking ground later this year in Bonner Springs, Kansas, the company shared with Travel Plus Leisure this week. Located around 22 miles from downtown Kansas City, we already know that. Most notably, guests can step into the world of Barbie and experience the adrenaline-pumping world of Hot Wheels.
Yeah, and there's a Thomas the Train section.
Yep. Wants another beloved familiar brands, including Pictionary, Uno, Thomas the Train. Theme park will feature attractions also located at its first location in Arizona, which I'd never heard of this before, but including two highly immersive Hot Wheels roller coasters. Did you look those up?
I did.
Looks pretty cool. Double looping Hot Wheels Twin Mill Racer and Hot Wheels Bone Shaker, emblazoned with the famous Hot Rod skull design. A highly anticipated larger-than-life Barbie beach house.
Yep.
We'll also be at the new resort, and we'll invite guests to explore the world of the iconic doll. Man, I'm telling you right now, I know not.
There's also like going in like a Jimmy Buffett resort.
I did hear that there was a
that's going right over there with all of it.
Is it Margaritaville?
Yeah, like a huge giant resort.
I thought I heard that they were building the Margaritaville over there by where the water park used to be. Or something.
Yes,
does that sound right? Okay,
so it's all going to be there together.
I'm telling you, I know that a lot of our listeners aren't in Kansas City, but we're in Kansas City. I heard someone say the other day, and I'm going to steal it. We're punching above our weight class.
No, for sure.
And actually, the person that I was listening to is kind of a nationally known
And they're saying
person.
This thing's going to be open up in the end of 2025, 2026.
They said 2026. Yeah, yeah, I mean, that's fast. That's not very long.
I think people think about, you know, people always think it takes longer than it does to build stuff. But, you know, the way they do budgets is, you know, hey, we're budgeting that we'd make this much a day.
Yeah, and so
every day now you're losing money, right? Yeah. It's like, well, we got to get it open.
Yeah, and I'm sure that they'll open it just like every park does. They'll probably start adding stuff, you know, from what it is when they initially open it. I'd never heard of it before, so I looked up the one in Arizona. I was like,
there's cool stuff in there.
We're gonna have two. We lived in Seattle; they didn't have an amusement park. Mm-mm. That's a big city. We're gonna have two amusement parks now.
Well, I don't know about that.
What, you think it's not gonna make it?
Worlds of Fun.
Yeah,
what a tough putt.
Well, I mean,
City is only so big. You know what I mean? And it feels like, I don't have any problem with Worlds of Fun. I like it, and I know, you know, it's a legend, but they've never really done anything to, I mean, this thing's going to be a brand new shiny object with a lot of cool new stuff. And while Kansas City is punching above its weight, there is a limited, finite amount of people.
I guess when I saw this, I thought this looks very kid oriented. You know,
those roller coasters were cool.
Barbie and Hot Wheels and Thomas
the
Train.
They're saying they want to do.
Roller coasters do look cool.
They're saying they want to do bachelorette parties at the Barbie thing.
That makes sense. Okay.
Right. So yeah. I don't think so.
That's not something that
they do bachelorette parties and bachelor parties. The rooftop bar.
Yeah.
It's going to be around.
Well, what's the name of the company that owns Worlds of Fun? Cedar Parks. Yeah, I can never remember if it's Fair or Parks.
Cedar Fair. I went to Cedar Point when I was
Cedar
a kid.
Cedar Point is the name of the park that they own.
I used to go to, yeah.
And Cedar Fair is the name of the company, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean,
they'd have to step up their game.
What do you, I mean, if they see this way,
but they don't ever, they haven't ever, really.
What do you mean?
Well, step up their game.
They build new stuff. And now that it's combined as a water park and amusement park all in one, I don't know, I got the impression, I haven't seen this thing, so I just looked at the one in Arizona, I got the impression that it's maybe a little bit younger oriented, but maybe not. I don't know. Either way, I'm sure that Cedar, whatever, is not thrilled about it.
No, I would
But as a resident, I'm like, this is great. I hope that they both make it. They're on the opposite sides of town, but I hope they both make it, and maybe it, you know, encourages Worlds of Fun to say, all right, well, now we're going to do something.
I mean, if they did step up, you know.
Well, it's been a while since we built a new roller coaster, you know.
Yeah, painted everything, put new restaurants in, you know what I mean? Like, really did something.
Yeah, but it is kind of crazy. I mean, just... And maybe I'm just comparing it to
Seattle. It's going to be around there, man. There's all those ball fields down there, home field down there. They're building like 8 baseball fields.
Yeah.
And
they're trying to do the whole thing out there.
Baseball report's going to be out there.
I feel like they're going to move the stadium out there. That's my theory.
I don't.
Feels like it.
I think if it gets voted down, I think it will.
That, you know, they're threatening to leave
I really
town.
Do. And I know people are saying they won't leave. But I think if it gets voted down, I think they want downtown baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if it gets voted down that they'll move over there where all that stuff is. There's all the baseball stuff that's going in.
Oh, see, I was thinking Arrowhead.
No, I don't think that'll go right away.
Just because of what they said. I don't know. I could just see it. They're building that area up. I was like, they might. I'm not saying that that's what I think is going to happen. I'm just saying I could see that happening. There's a scenario.
I could see it happening. I think that might take a little bit longer. I think the Royals would go in a heartbeat.
Well, I saw somebody on Reddit saying, you know, if they vote this down, because the Royals are threatening to leave, right? You know, it's open. We could leave town. And somebody said, well, you know, if they go to Nashville, then we could watch them on TV.
No, I didn't. Yeah.
Which
That's
is true.
True.
It's like, just fix that. I saw a guy on TV this morning on ESPN. He's like, you're doing your MLB regular season opener in Korea. We understand why you're doing it, but does that really benefit the fans here? If you live in LA and you're a Dodgers fan and you want to watch that game, you had to watch it at 3 o'clock in the morning. Like, you know, little kids aren't seeing the season opener there. At 3 o'clock in the morning, you're making it hard to watch on TV. It's just we've complained about it a bunch of times.
Right.
I know most people don't care about the whole thing. I'm just say this: when you get to the point where people are discussing whether or not they want to pay for a new stadium, and one of the comments is, "Well, maybe we should vote no because if they move to Nashville, we'll get to watch them on TV."
Right. No, that means
then you got a problem.
Right? No, you do.
You do.
You do.
So anyway,
do you think they would move to Kansas?
The stadium?
The Royals.
Yeah, totally possible.
I think they will.
I
think if it gets voted down, they will. I don't think there's any doubt. I think they'd go quick.
You think so? You think that if it gets voted down, they'd set up a vote in Kansas?
I don't think they have. I don't think they have to set up a vote.
Well, who's going to pay for it?
I think Kansas will do everything they can.
Right, but they take a vote on it to see if they're going to have to raise taxes.
Kansas
right?
does all kinds of different stuff. I'm not an expert on it, but they do like star bonds where they don't have to.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess
there's
I don't
a lot
know how
of things
works.
That Kansas does to bring business over there. where they don't have to vote on it.
They just take your money and that's that?
That's it.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay, mm-hmm. Well, yeah, because, I mean, my thought was if Kansas, I would assume that Kansas would say, sure, move it over here, and then they would do it. And if not, then they would maybe leave town. I don't know. There is a scenario. They always do that we might leave town because they want you to vote for the stadium, right?
Yeah, I think the chance of them leaving town is slim and none. I think the chance of them moving to Kansas by Barbieville and Jimmy Buffett and all those diamonds that home field's building out there, the soccer team,
yeah.
And just building into that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think they'd be like, yes, please.
Yeah, see, for some reason, I don't know
why. Racetrack and the casino.
I just thought with all that space, for some reason, I thought if Arrowhead, ends, if they decide they want to move
there. I don't think it's out of the question that they move there, too.
That was my
I think that might take a little bit longer to go. I think they if the Royals go, then I think, this is just me thinking. I'm just talking a lot. I haven't talked to anybody. I have no idea. But it would make sense that then the Chiefs put up another vote that doesn't include the Royals part of it. And if that gets voted down, then I think they go too.
Well,
so I think they'll get a second chance. I think they'll do another tax thing. And if that gets voted down, then I think they bolt as well. And I think they go over there with the Royals.
Just to make sure I'm following you. If Kansas City says, no, we're not going to start a new tax. We're going to keep the one we got. And the Royal, which is not what the Royals want. And it's not what Arrowhead wants either, though. It's not what the Chiefs want either. So, I feel
if they
like
vote no on April 2nd.
Mm-hmm. So, but then what you're saying is if they say we don't want the new tax, we don't want to start a new tax.
Just clear that up for me.
Yeah.
If on April 2nd the people of Jackson County vote no,
no on the stadium downtown,
then the Royals move.
Right, but you're saying also that I'm talking about Arrowhead. You're saying that then you think they would say the Chiefs are going to start another vote.
Yes,
say, will just, you pay for us
just Arrowhead
to update our facilities
without the Royals? Without now the Royals are out of this. Let's do another one that's just us.
Okay,
and I think if that gets voted down, then they move. You know, Arrowhead.
The whole thing is so confusing because it's like this about the Royals, but when I read about it, it's also about Arrowhead. And, you know, the Chiefs have talked
about
it's about both of them. And so people are mostly thinking about this downtown stadium for the Royals. Mm-hmm. But when you read the articles, it's like, well, this also involves Arrowhead. And what happens?
Because
the
Chiefs want the Royals out of there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because they want to build that in its own football district, right? With everything that they can build around it. So
if it doesn't go, there's
I think they go. We got more land down there. We'll be with the Royals. We'll be with the soccer team, Sporting KC. We'll be with the Barbie thing, will be with the other resort they're putting in, will be with the I think home field is literally putting in like 12 diamonds or something to bring in international and national baseball tournaments for high school kids and younger. Like, it's going to be massive out there.
The Margaritaville District. We're going to have to come up with a name for it. I mean, they call it Legends, right, because of the mall?
Yeah.
Is that what we're going to keep calling it? I mean, it's Bonner Springs. You got a racetrack there, so.
I got a casino. I mean, you got everything.
Right.
If they just put the stadiums out there, it'd be cool.
Well, getting
I mean, it really would. I know it makes people mad who are in Jackson County.
For what?
For me saying it'd be cool, but there's a part of me that
some people in Jackson County are saying move over there.
I really
I've seen
want downtown baseball, and if I could vote, I'd vote yes. I'm just telling you. You'd be mad at me or not.
Yeah.
It's fine, but that's how I would vote.
Sure.
I'm not telling you to vote that way. That's how I would vote.
Yeah.
But if it gets voted down and the Royals go out there, I'd be pretty happy about that.
I'm telling you, I've seen a lot of Jackson County voters who have said they'd be happy about that.
Right,
move to Kansas. You guys can pay for it. We'll still go to the games.
Right.
There's just a lot of debate. It's hard to know, though, what you're seeing online, how reflective that is of the general population that's going to vote. Because the people online are obviously very worked up about this, and I'm trying to read the room through them. I know you've asked on Twitch a couple times, what do you guys think if you live in Jackson County? You know, I don't think it's probably all that representative to go on the Kansas City subreddit or whatever and look at message boards because these people are worked up. But I have seen some of them that are like, go to Kansas. Let them pay for it. So we'll see. But you get the amusement park. That's already guaranteed. You get a bright, shiny, new Mattel amusement park.
It would be crazy because is it Kansas City, Kansas over there?
Yes. Well, Bonner Springs is where this thing's going to be.
But it is KCK, some of it, right?
Some of it is KCK.
So they put it in there. It's just weird to think when I was a kid that I – you know, you were learning the capitals and everything. You're like, Kansas City is the capital of Missouri. It was always confusing. Like, well, this is stupid. I don't like it. It'd be crazy all these years later. And they told you, like, there's nothing in. They would say, there's nothing in Kansas City, Kansas. It's small. There's nothing in there. That's how we learned it.
Right.
You know, yes, there is a Kansas City, Kansas, but nobody lives there.
Right.
And you're like, okay. Well, and they're like, if you see the sports teams, that's in Kansas City, Missouri. That's how they would teach you. I'm like, all right.
The city's
so the
in
Chiefs
Missouri.
Are in Missouri, but it's Kansas City, Missouri. All right. Got it.
Now it'd be really confusing.
Now they'd be teaching people the other thing. If you see the sports teams, if a kid in Detroit like me, and they're like, well, Kansas City is Missouri, right? And they're like, well, yes, but if you see the sports teams and where everything is, that's Kansas City, Kansas. It would change the whole.
But downtown is still Missouri. So now it's really confusing. That city's in Missouri.
Right.
The teams are over there. At some point, they should just say, let's just all divide this up into one thing and we'll become our own state.
Right.
Right? Because everyone who lives in eastern Kansas is, you know, a part of Kansas City.
Right.
Everybody who lives in this, you know, part of western Missouri is a part of Kansas City. I've always thought, why don't we just take a big knife and we'll just take a big circle and say, boom, we've started our own thing. Because I know that there's lots of cities that straddle state lines and there's similar things and there's border wars and all that. But, man, it does feel like this city, especially if all that stuff goes over there, then just call it its own thing. I don't know what you say anymore. Kansas City, Kansas and Kansas City, Missouri should just merge.
They're not going to.
Well, no. It's not. Obviously, they're in different states. And the people in Jackson County are going to say, all right, you guys pay for it, and we'll still go to the games or not go to the games. I don't know, whatever. But then are they going to regret that? You know what I mean? Are they going to say, oh, we miss having it? Because it was already in the suburbs, but it was in Missouri suburbs, right?
Right.
So
I don't know if they'll miss it or not. There was a sense, I always felt like there was a sense of pride in it.
Absolutely.
When I got here, it was like, oh, all the stuff's in Missouri. You want to live in Missouri. Everything's in Missouri. Right.
The city's in Missouri.
Well, I mean, conceivably within the next 3 years, there'll be nothing in Missouri.
Well, the airport, downtown, right? You're just talking about sports.
I mean, and you know, I mean, that's a lot of stuff leaving. I mean, you say, the airport, okay, so I fly in, but that doesn't feel like Kansas City.
No, I know, but the city is still in Missouri.
I know.
I understand. Now you're part of this border war, and you're excited that the stuff's coming to Kansas, which I understand, but, or the prospect of it, but I'm just saying it would still be confusing because there'd still be 500,000 people living in Kansas City, Missouri.
There would be, for sure.
Yes.
But when you're watching TV, they're like, we are in downtown Kansas City, Kansas.
Right. Which
they
already
start
do
saying
anyway.
That, right.
So,
but
yeah.
on NFL, you know, when they're playing the Super Bowl
and with
or the playoffs.
The president congratulates Kansas. Missourians are already used to it, right?
Right,
so
yeah.
Just get used to it some more, I guess.
The Church of Laszlo.
We're done, man. That's it.
That was a good show.
Thursday.
You did a good job.
Send it to the archives.
Oregon's still winning.
Good. What are you doing tonight?
I've only got one wrong so far.
Is that what you're doing tonight, watching March Madness?
I'm going to watch a little basketball. We'll see.
I don't know what you're going to do? I don't know what I'm going
to
do. Maybe I'll snort a bunch of Xanax and take a nap. I don't know.
That sounds actually pretty good.
We'll see. You shouldn't do that. I've heard you shouldn't do that.
You should take a tampon, dip it in vodka, and
Yeah, I've seen that, too. I don't know.
That's fun.
And I was watching this show, and this girl keeps snorting Xanax. I was like, people do that? It doesn't matter. So it's a show, and this girl keeps snorting. I'm like,
I don't know that it's a show.
It's a show.
Is it porno?
No, it's a show. No, it's not porno.
But snorting Xanax and getting horny, I'd watch.
I don't think you're supposed to snort it.
Well, I don't think you're not supposed to snort it.
I don't know. We'll see.
Kids, don't act like Slim Fast. Act like me. Go home.
And watch my Madness.
I am cooking salmon for dinner.
Good.
And then I'm going to watch a little basketball.
There you go.
In the morning, I'm going to wake up and go on a walk.
Nice.
Kids, do that. Don't snort Xanax like Uncle Slim Fast.
No.
All right.
Just living a life on cheap cheeseburgers and lots of sleep.
Good show, Shohei. Stay positive, kids.
It's the Church of Laszlo.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan-favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.